بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Imagine that you are standing in a line or at a bus stop and you witness something happening in front of you. So you witness someone being hurt, or you witness someone having their property stolen, a purse being snatched, for example, or you witness blatant racism or discrimination against someone else who is in line with you. And you know that this is clearly due to, let's say, the color of their skin or their appearance, their dress. Question is, what would you do? Now, before we answer the question of what we would do, the more important question to ask is, how would we feel about seeing something like this happening in front of us? If someone feels good about what they see, then they're most likely to agree with what has happened. If they feel bad, you're going to disagree. And if you feel nothing, then you may just be indifferent towards what has happened. And most chances are that, if you feel nothing, you will do nothing as well. If you feel good about it, or if you feel bad about it, you might say or do something, or you may just stay silent, depending on your personality, your level of confidence, and so on. Most of us have probably heard about the video that was filmed in Hamilton by three students, which they called a social experiment, to see people's reactions, to see how the public would react to discriminatory behavior towards a Muslim. And it was very comforting to see that many people, or some people at least, spoke up. No one supported the discrimination, which was an act, it was not for real. People spoke up against it, and one person actually punched the guy in the nose, which is not good. That shouldn't have happened, because the response to hatred and discrimination is not violence. Okay, so it was bad to see. He actually had a bloody nose, so that was not good. But the sentiment was good, that a person was actually willing to stand up and to defend another person who clearly looked very different, who clearly appeared to be a Muslim. And this person who was standing up and defending the Muslim person did not appear to be a Muslim. It appeared to be just like, your average Joe who thought that what was happening was wrong. And he stood up for the person who he felt was being wrongly mistreated. But of course, we don't agree with the way he expressed his sentiments. So the question is, when we see something wrong, how should we feel? How should we feel, and what should we do about it? But then that begs another question: how do we define what is wrong anyway? How do we know what is right and wrong? And you'll come across different approaches in society. So people will say that human beings themselves can figure out ethics and morality, that they don't need any guidance. As they continue to live together, as they continue to evolve in communities and societies, they themselves can figure out what works and what doesn't work, how they need to behave, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, in order for them to survive. Others will say that they get their ethics and their morality from religious teachings, from other religions. And some people will actually just base it on their desires. So like, yeah, that's wrong because I feel that it's wrong. And sometimes things will be clearly, immoral or maybe bad in many ways, but they might feel like, I think it's okay. I think it's fine because it doesn't really affect me. It doesn't bother me. And I'm just going to use my own judgment and my own desires to say what is right and what is wrong. As believers, we get our ethics we get our definition of what is right and what is wrong from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this should be very clear for us, that the definition of what is right and what is wrong, what constitutes good and what constitutes bad, is solely from Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see things happening around us, and we see things which are openly happening around us, right? We see immorality, we see indecency, we see people, you know, taking intoxicants, taking things which are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending their money and their time in activities and amusements which are prohibited by Allah Azza wa Jal, like gambling. We see people associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing shirk, which in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most serious crime. We see falsehood. We even see, unfortunately, the abuse and misrepresentation of the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, in today's times, we see all of these things happening. And it's not just specific to where we live. It's not just specific to even our time. Like even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we look at as the best of times, the best of society, and indeed it was, there still was evil. There still were people, you know, making mistakes and committing sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with that, and actually dealt with that in a very good way, in a very positive way. Right? So there's no utopia, there's no utopian society. There always will be something that's happening that shouldn't be. So that's just the reality we have to live with and we have to face. But when we see these things happening, especially in our context today, how should we feel? How should we feel? Should we just look at it, disregard it? Should we think about it? Should we feel something about it? Clearly, as Muslims, because a Muslim, remember, is one who submits to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what it means to be a Muslim. One who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers who submit to Allah, who submit to the guidance of Allah, who submit to the teachings and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be concerned. We should be worried when we come across such things. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that something is wrong and He dislikes something, we also need to do the same. And we talk about beliefs as well, and we see that. Right? We understand, we believe that people have the right to practice their religion. We understand and we believe that people have the right to have their own beliefs. We know that there is no compulsion when it comes to faith, and we are not to force anyone to believe. But at the same time, when we see beliefs which ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ascribe a child to Allah azza wa jal in our hearts, this should be concerning to us. This should be troubling to us. But note that I'm not talking about what we should do about it. I'm not talking about doing something. I'm just talking about the feeling right now. So when we see something that goes against the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal, that goes against the guidance and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should cause us some concern. We should feel some discomfort. We should feel a bit bad about it. We should feel something in our hearts that, you know what, there's something that's not right. So emotionally we should dislike it. We should feel bothered by it, and we should feel uncomfortable about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Rather, He's addressing the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah, this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah has endeared the faith to you, has made it beloved to you, has made it dear to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And has beautified it in your hearts. So has made it as something which is beautiful inside your hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. And He has made disbelief and wickedness and disobedience, meaning to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, detestful to you. It is something that He has made you dislike in your hearts. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الرَّاشِدُونَ. These, they are the rightly guided ones. So it was a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something that we should aim for and we should aspire to have as well, that in our hearts our iman, our faith is considered to be something which is truly valuable, something which is truly beautiful. It's etched in our hearts as something that's delightful and something that's beautiful, and at the same time our heart is so pure that whenever we come across the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we come across a disbelief against the commands and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we come across wickedness, we feel that it is something detestable, it is something which is disliked and something that we do not enjoy and something we do not like. So these are the qualities of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them, and He talks about that He had done that for them, and we should also desire it as well. Now note that we are not talking about the people who do such things. This is an important distinction. I'm not talking about individuals who are doing these things that we should dislike. I'm not talking about hating people. We are talking about disliking the actual act. We're talking about disliking and detesting the actual beliefs themselves. We're not talking about the people who hold these beliefs. We're not talking about those who are doing it. Right now we're just talking about the act in and of itself, the belief in and of itself. So as believers, when we know that such things are happening openly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He doesn't expect us to be just passive spectators. He doesn't expect us to be just passive spectators who just watch and just see and, you know, they just move on. No. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we should dislike that which is wrong with our heart, but that's not all. We need to have a strong moral compass. We need to have a strong moral compass in our hearts and be agents for positive change. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you are the best of people ever raised up for mankind. The best of the ummahs, the best of the nations. And the first quality He describes after that, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you enjoin that which is right. You enjoin goodness and you forbid evil and that which is wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ has also told us that تَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That by Him in whose hand, and he starts off by saying, by Him in whose hand my life is, you either enjoin good and discourage and forbid evil, or Allah will certainly soon send His punishment to you, and then He will make supplications, it will not be accepted. If you disregard this duty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon you, then it may happen that a punishment may come upon you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will make supplications, you will make dua, and it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you have foregone this responsibility. So it's very clear, my brothers and sisters, that there is a requirement, there is a need to take positive action to bring about positive change. Now the possible wisdom behind this command may be found in this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and the translation is, that the parable of the one who observes the limits prescribed by Allah, meaning goes along with Allah's guidance, sticks to what Allah has commanded, stays away from that which He has prohibited, and the one who transgresses them, who goes beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, is the likeness of people who board a ship after casting lots. Okay, so let's say you're going on a cruise, you're going on a ship, but there's no reservations for the lower deck, the upper berth, the upper deck, right? So there's a draw, and you know, you decide who's going to go where. Okay, so some of them, the Prophet ﷺ goes on, some of them are in its lower deck and others are in its upper deck. So you imagine a ship. Okay, there's some people on the lower deck, some people on the upper deck. Those in the lower deck, when they need water, people on the lower deck, they need water. So what do? They go to the upper deck and they say, if we make a hole in the bottom of the ship, we will not harm you. Okay, we need water. So instead of coming upstairs and bothering you and saying, okay, give us some water, we're just going to make a hole in the side of the ship. We're in the water anyway. And we'll just take some water and, you know, everything will be fine. Right? We're not going to disturb you. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on, if those in the upper deck leave them to carry out their plan, they will all be drowned. Right? If the people on the upper deck are like, well, okay, who cares? Fine, good. You know, don't disturb us, do whatever you like. Yeah, go ahead, make a hole, take water, you know, that's fine. Go ahead with whatever you're thinking. What's going to happen? They're all going to drown, and everyone's going to suffer. But if they stop them, then all of them will be safe. And this is recorded by Imam Bukhari in the Sahih. So this indicates to us that the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the evil that we find, it can cause decay in society. It can have consequences, perhaps indirect, perhaps over time, which affect us all in one way or the other. And we're seeing this today. And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is commonly quoted, when he said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever amongst you sees anything objectionable or forbidden, let him change it with his hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. And if he's not able to, then with his tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِ. And then, if he's not able to, with his tongue. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the lowest. This is, you know, then with his tongue. And if he's not able to do so, then with his heart. And the latter, meaning this, considering it to be bad in the heart, is the weakest form of faith. So clearly we have been commanded, to bring positive change when we see evil in the open. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ. Whoever from amongst you sees it. Okay, so if it's occurring and you see it happening, then that responsibility is upon you to take some action, appropriate action, legal action, to bring about positive change. But don't go seek it unnecessarily. Hey, don't go, you know, put your nose in other people's business when things are not in the open, simply inquiring because you want to tell people to do the right thing and you want to correct everyone. That's not the approach. That's not the approach. You know, unnecessarily probing, unnecessarily investigating, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. If it's happening, it's happening openly and you see it happening, then there's a responsibility to take some action. And secondly, we also understand from this hadith that there are stages of responsibility. Not everyone is equally responsible. Because the Prophet ﷺ has given us options. He has given us grades. First you try this. If that's not possible, then you try this. If that's not possible, then you try that. Okay, so there may be situations where we don't have the authority to take positive steps for change in a certain way. Or perhaps we don't have the ability. Or perhaps we may be able to, but doing so will bring more harm, will do more harm than good. So not every situation is equal, and not every person is equal in their abilities and in their opportunities. But everyone is responsible for feeling something in their hearts. Because the lowest form of faith is to change it with your heart, to recognize it as something wrong in the heart. And this is essential for everyone. This is the lowest level, which is essential for everyone. That if you find a munkar, if you find an evil, you see it happening, something objectionable, then at the very least, your heart should not be satisfied with it. Your heart should feel that, you know what, I may not be able to do anything about this, but this is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now has given us another command. And this command to bring positive change needs to be understood in light of that command, which is a verse of the Qur'an that has to do with inviting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually a very important thing I need to mention, is that you see, the guidance that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us, they're to be understood in their entirety, the holistic approach. We don't cherry pick verses of the Qur'an. We don't cherry pick ahadith and sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and open the book and say, look, here's what it says, so I'm just going to go and act upon it. This is not the approach of the people of knowledge and taqwa. That's not how it works. How it works is that we reconcile all of the different teachings, look at it with a broad perspective and say, okay, this is what Allah has said here, this is what Rasulullah ﷺ has said there, this is, you know, all these different contexts, different verses, different traditions, and then we put it together and say, okay, you know what, this is what we understand from this. And this is the job of the people of knowledge and taqwa. This is the job of the fuqaha, of the jurists, of those who have been blessed with knowledge and with taqwa by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal says in the Quran, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوَعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Invite to the way of your Lord. Okay? Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with good counsel, and debate and argue if you need to in the best of manners, with the best of manners. So number one, right, wisdom. So wisely assess the circumstances and the conditions surrounding the addressee. So you find someone, you feel they're doing something wrong, something incorrect. Okay, so you assess the situation first, right? You're not all gung-ho about it, you're going to just go and start shouting at them. Okay, that's not wisdom. You start belittling them. You start putting them down. That's not wisdom. So you wisely assess the situation and the circumstances. You pick the most appropriate thing to say. You pick the most appropriate time to say it. And the best manner to relay it. That is the way to approach it with wisdom. Leniency when required. Sometimes leniency is required. Sometimes firmness is required. They're not the same all the time. It depends on the circumstance, it depends on the situation. Okay. And also, wisdom does not mean hiding the truth. And this is a misconception that we often have. It does not mean hiding the truth. It means presenting the truth in a sensitive and appropriate way. Okay. You're not trying to hide the truth. That's not something you want to do. You want to say the truth. You want to present the truth. But you want to do it in a sensitive and appropriate way, taking into account the person or the group or the persons that you are actually addressing. So that's number one. Number two, the subject matter and the manner of presentation need to be kept soft to prove that it's being done for their best interest. Right? And this is where a lot of us slip up. We end up becoming rude. We end up embarrassing people. We end up belittling people. Right? So that's not what we want to do. That's not meant to be the intent. That's not the intention. That's not why we should be doing this. We should be doing this because we care. We should be doing this out of compassion. We should be doing this out of sympathy, because we want what's best for the others. So you make the point, but do it in a way that's sensitive and that's nice and that's appropriate, and that's gets across to the person that you're not doing it just to, you know, just so that you can prove that you know better than them, or just to show that, you know, you're more elevated in some way, or that they're worse than you. That's not the intention. That's not the point. So this should be taken care of. And finally, if you need to debate and discuss, then do it in the best way. Do it in the best way possible. Not to put down anyone, but to just remove their doubts and to convince them. And there may be a point where a person doesn't want to understand. A person doesn't want to believe, and that's okay. Then you leave it at that, because you've done your job at that point. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, a group of people came, and they happened to be some of the members of the Jewish community, and they addressed the Prophet ﷺ. So they said, instead of saying "Assalamu alayka," they said "Assalamu alayka." The death or poison be upon you. Instead of saying "Assalamu alayka," said "Assalamu alayka." The death or poison be upon you. So Aisha radiallahu anha got upset, because someone has the courage to actually come here, and say this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she responded with, "Rather death and curse be upon you." So she retorted in a similar manner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmed her down. He said, "O Aisha, verily Allah is Rafiq. Allah is Rafiq. He is kind and gentle. He loves gentleness in all manners." So if you're going to respond, don't respond in the same or worse way. Respond in a better way. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said to her as well, that, "O Aisha, be gentle." This is also very important. "Be gentle, for gentleness does not enter anything except that it beautifies it. And harshness does not enter anything except that it disfigures it." Be gentle, for gentleness does not enter anything except that it beautifies it. And harshness does not enter anything except that it disfigures it. So my brothers and sisters, to recap, the point is, we need to be concerned about evil. We need to be concerned about things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, the things that Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown dislike for and has prohibited. Okay, so we can't be indifferent. We can't be oblivious to things that happen around us. So let us stick and be firm to our values and our ideals and the teachings of Islam, and be proud of them. We are fortunate, alhamdulillah, that we live in a land, in a country, where we are free to believe, where everyone is free to hold whichever opinions and whichever beliefs that they want. And this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the popularity of an opinion or of a belief does not matter. It doesn't, you know, like your beliefs and your opinions don't need to be popular in order for you to have the right to hold them. You can believe the most ridiculous thing ever. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to hold that opinion. It doesn't need to be popular. So be firm and be proud in the teachings of Islam and in your beliefs. Don't be ashamed of them. And secondly, when appropriate, when possible, promote them responsibly. So you do it gently, we do it wisely, we do it while respecting the rights of people, we do it while respecting our laws and obligations. But we take some steps. So think about your environment. Think about your community, your family, your workplace, your community, your society. What are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes? What are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes in those settings that you are witnessing and that you should dislike as well? And think, how can you promote, how can you initiate positive change in a polite and gentle, wise and appropriate manner? Try to find ways that you can do that. Even if they're small steps, that's fine. Even if they're very minor steps, that's okay. As long as the intention is there. The intention and the concern is what matters. So you have the concern in your heart that, you know what, I'm seeing this stuff, it's happening around me, maybe I'm getting involved in it as well, and it's not right. What can I do to make it a little bit better? In a positive way, in a nice way, in a good, appropriate way. And at the bare minimum, believe with your heart that, you know what, what's wrong is wrong. Doesn't matter who's doing it. Doesn't matter if it's someone I'm close to, someone that I know, someone who's from my group, from my faith, or anyone else. What's wrong is what's wrong, and what's right is what's right. And if you're ever confused about such issues, how to deal with them, how to reconcile the teachings of Allah and His Messenger ﷺ that you have read with the reality, then seek guidance with people of knowledge and taqwa and understanding, those who are familiar with your circumstances and in the situation that you live in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah azza wa jal give us firmness and steadfastness in our beliefs and in our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hearts that are able to distinguish clearly between right and wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all positive agents of positive change, who work and make efforts and have the concern to bring betterment to our lives and to that of our society. Ameen wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. A few important announcements, and inshallah this evening we will be having a special session, or meeting if you will, entitled Standing Up for Your Community, Discussion and Action Forum. Okay, so we've talked a few weeks ago about, you know, how, what we can do to defend our community, what we can do to, you know, face the challenges